I am very pleased to be in the pulpit once again. It's been a while. I've been in school for an eternity, it feels like, and I'm wrapping up that one soon. And so I had this opportunity to preach, and I am just really tickled pink to be here, even though I'm wearing blue. The scriptures in Matthew today talk about what John the Baptizer was doing, what his vocation was, if you will. The scriptures before that tell you that a little bit about him, not much, but that he was a man who was kind of weird, actually. Well, he ate locusts, for one thing, and he wore camel hair. Isn't that weird to somebody else in here? Anyway, he had a mission. Regardless, you know, most of the people in this world who have missions are a little quirky anyway, right? So anyway, John was one of those little quirky people, but he was the messenger of God. He was the one who called to all of the people to repent. To repent and to come to the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized. Repent means to turn away. Turn away. He was calling them to turn away from their sins, turn to God, and be baptized. A general definition of baptism is the rite of washing with water as a sign of purification or regeneration. John's life work was calling people to repentance and then purifying them through immersion in the waters of the Jordan River. I don't know if any of you have actually seen the Jordan River, but I had a wonderful picture of the real Jordan River that was going to go up on the screen over there. Picture this, a very narrow river, very, very narrow, and it was lined with, I think, bulrushes or some kind of big bushes, and the river itself was a yellow clay color. It looks rather thick, actually. And not very tempting to go swimming in or even to be baptized. And you would have seen that if you'd seen the picture, but Eli assures me it's going to go up on Facebook, so y'all look at Facebook, and you can see the actual picture of the river. Of course, we don't know what it looked like in John and Jesus' day, but the whole area around there is nothing but yellow sandy clay, so I suspect that it looks pretty much the same as it does now. To be baptized in this thick yellow water, I think must have taken some courage and some real determination to repent of your sins, of one's sins. And along comes Jesus. In the middle of John baptizing all of these people, here comes Jesus, who is probably relatively unknown at the time, and tells John to baptize him. Now, John argues with him, and that's okay. Jesus got his way. And he was baptized in this really thick, nasty water. And as soon as he comes up out of that water, a dove ascends from heaven. And a voice makes a pronouncement that Jesus is God's beloved child and that God is well pleased in him. Can you imagine what that must have looked like and sounded like to all of those people that were gathered along the edge of the river? I don't know about you, but if I were one of those people, waiting on the edge, I just might have turned and run the other direction. But of course, God knows what God's doing, and as far as we know, no one ran the other direction. We don't know, actually, who heard it and saw it. Maybe everybody did, and maybe just John and Jesus did. We don't know that. But regardless of that unknowing, let me kind of speculate about this whole event for a bit here. The baptism of Jesus has long been an event debated by religious authorities, religious scholars. Some believe it heralded the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Others say it was an anointing of the divineness of Jesus. And still others argue that Jesus wanted to be baptized to signify his oneness with the people. My personal belief is the latter. Jesus, who was fully divine and fully human, was showing himself to be one of the people, not above needing baptism. But then there is the dove descending from heaven with the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." Maybe one could make a case for Jesus being set apart with that pronouncement. But what if God was sending a message to us through him? The message that we are all the beloved of God, and God is well pleased with us. Let's hang on to that belief just for a second here. Actually, a few minutes. I won't give you hours, I'll just give you minutes. There are parallels in this passage with passages in Genesis. In Genesis, it says that God made us in God's own image. How totally loved and beloved are we made in the Creator's own image? And after we were created, God looked upon us and pronounced us very good. In Matthew, God at Jesus' baptism is pronouncing us to be God's beloved, and that God is well pleased in us. I think that God desires us to look within ourselves for that belovedness that has always been there since our creation. God knew us before we were even in the womb, and we were still her beloved. We were never meant to be anything but God's special children, loved and beloved by our Creator. Our human world, however, has a way of crashing down on us and burying this knowledge under piles of rubble, such as PTSD, depression, grief and loss, homelessness and hunger, chemical dependency and other mental illnesses create feelings of unworthiness and anger, sadness and loneliness. We end up failing to remember who we are in the heart of God. The poem read today speaks to that message. I'm sure I am not the only one who has felt deserted and alone, unimportant, used and abused, and wondering why I was even here. I have struggled all of my life looking for someone who would love me as my mother should have loved me, but didn't. I have unwittingly and unfairly put unattainable expectations on my partners who have come and gone because they could not live up to them. They could never be my mother. Granted, I didn't know that I was doing that until recently, But as this reality dawned on me, I realized that no matter how hard and long I pleaded, prayed, and sobbed my need to God, I would never find that mother until I looked in the right place. I was looking in all the wrong places. The place I should have been looking was inside myself, as a beloved creation of God, the Mother. That eternal, living Mother resides within me and is all the Mother I will ever need. My search is over. That Mother loves me unconditionally, believes in me, thinks I am special, and is well pleased with me. I have finally recognized who I am, the beloved child of God. And you, my brothers and sisters, my friends, have that God within you. And you are all beloved and special. And God is well pleased with each of you. Our search for nurturing love, validation, for worthiness, for acceptability, can be over if we embrace God's words. Underneath the rubble of life is a bright light that can guide us out of the darkness into the daylight. That light is what descended from heaven that day, long ago, and spoke the greatest healing words ever. You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. So why do we do self-destructive things? Why do we sabotage ourselves? Why do we curse God for creating us to rattle around in the pain and suffering, the darkness and the depression? We are God's beloved children, and God came to earth as a human being in order to understand what we experience. Yet we curse God. We shake our fists at the heavens, walk away, and throw our faith to the curb. Just because we have bad things that happen to good people. Yes, being human hurts sometimes, but it can bring joy beyond all imagination, too. Jesus hurt. Jesus suffered. Jesus died that we might live surrounded and infused with the light of his love. We are one with our brothers and sisters. We are one with our brother Jesus, created by the same Creator, beloved in every way, and yet sometimes we deny who we are. That's sort of like telling God that God made junk. But God didn't make junk. God never makes junk. The definition of beloved, I want you to hear this. The definition of beloved is someone who is adored, much loved, cherished, treasured, prized, highly regarded, admired, esteemed, and revered. Oh my gosh! We are that and more. We are all these things in God's eyes. And yet, we struggle with embracing this pure love. Can we accept that God feels this way about us? Some days. Can we recognize how cherished we are to our Creator? Yeah, some days. If we could look at ourselves that way, each and every day, no one would be looking for a mother or a father or anything that they never had. No one would be searching for acceptance forgiveness, or a way to escape victimhood. The past would be past, the present would be glorious, and the future would hold the promise of complete joy and love, because we would recognize who we are. We would see ourselves as the beloved of God. God always reminds us that we are special and we are loved. God waits patiently for us to come to the realization that she is well pleased with us. But we often miss that message because we cannot see underneath our pile of human suffering. Yes, bad things happen to good people, but good things happen to good people too. It is when we rise above the pile that we find it easy to recognize who we are and how much we are loved. The trick is to know this love when we are at the bottom or in the middle of the unpleasant times of our lives. Jesus knew how much he was loved, and he didn't have an easy time of sharing and teaching God's love to others. He endured many difficulties and ultimately gave up his life for that truth. He was dunked into thick yellow clay waters to be purified, and then was introduced as God's beloved child. We may need to take that journey with Jesus in order to really hear and accept and embrace those words for ourselves. Jesus is fully human and fully divine, came and experienced life with its good, its bad, and its ugly. But he never forgot who he was, no matter how tough things got for him. He always believed that he was God's beloved child. And he always believed that all of humanity were his brothers and sisters, and they were beloved as well. Today, may our hearts soar in recognition of the one who speaks this love to us, and be reminded of who we are once again. Would you close your eyes and listen to this poem one more time? In the stillness of the night, my spirit calls out to the God of my understanding. I want to be loved. I want to be nurtured. I want to be someone's beloved. My life has been in a tailspin, seemingly rocketing out of human control. I've felt deserted and alone, used and abused, wondering why I am even here. I ache to know if my life has any meaning, if my life is important, if I can be loved beyond all understanding by anyone, including the one who created me in her own image. As I lie quietly in the darkness, a voice, a sound reaches out to me and envelops me as the waters of the womb from which I once emerged. I am suddenly wrapped up in a gentle sound of lapping water and words that fill my spirit. I am opened wide to accept the words that are spoken with great love. You are my beloved, my child in whom I am well pleased. My heart soars in recognition of the one who speaks, and I am reminded of who I am once again. I am loved, I am nurtured, my life is important, I remember I have meaning, I am the beloved of God. May you all remember who you are, the beloved child of God, in whom God is well pleased. Amen.